This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Thank you, Father. Thank you that you're a God who wants to be involved with His creation. And today we're coming together as a congregation to listen to you, what is on your heart, what you want to share with us. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you're going to reveal to us what is on your heart, that we can have that heart-to-heart connection, but that our hearts will also be open. Yes, there are maybe things which happen during the week, and as what I just now said, technical problems, things like that. But that we can set it aside, that we can bind it in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can focus on what you want to share with us today. That I can speak it now as I'm speaking, that the Holy Spirit is opening up our hearts, Father, that we can receive from you, and that there's nothing which is blocking it, there's nothing which is keeping the gates closed, but that we can say, open up the gates, the King of Kings wants to enter. Thank you, Father, that we can come and that we can listen to what you want to share with us. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the beginning, each and every story has always got a beginning. And then if we take a look at what we've got in Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. What we've got in worldly terms, we've got a beginning, and then we've got, most of the time, we've got a certain date attached to it. But if we're talking about any beginning, we do not know. We only know that God is eternal. So he was already over there, he is, and he is going to be with us forever and ever. And John understood it. He understood that importance of in the beginning. Because if we take a look at John 1, he also starts with that. The same, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what it says over here, in the beginning was the Word. Now, if we take a look at the Greek for that, it means logos. And logos meaning then the Word, the written Word of God. But in this instance, it also means Jesus Christ. Because if I'm going to read exactly the same verse and I change the Word with Jesus Christ, then it makes sense. In the beginning was Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was with God, and Jesus Christ was God. Totally correct. And Jesus Christ became flesh. We've been singing it just now, that he became flesh. He came to us and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it's so beautiful that John is actually starting the same way as what the Bible started. The other Gospels, they start with the genealogy of Jesus, where he was coming from in Bethlehem. And even Luke started with a description of the area where he was at that specific moment. But John is focusing on directly on a beginning, any beginning. And then the word which has been used over there, like I said, is the word logos. And that logos refers then that it is God's word. It's coming directly from God. We all know that God was speaking to Abraham and to Moses, where he was speaking directly to them. He was speaking through the prophets, the major and the minor prophets. He was also speaking through Jesus, and Jesus was revealing God. And he was also speaking through the other people who were writing down the things that God told them to write down, because we know that the scripture is given by inspiration of God. But God is also speaking through us. The Holy Spirit is speaking through us as well today. And that's something what we maybe sometimes forget, but it is very important how God is also speaking through us, that God is using the one person to send a message to the other person. I just would like to spend some time with the logos and the rhema word. The logos, what I said, is the written word of God. It is what we find in the New Testament. And then each and every time we get the English word, it says word, then we've got a logos or we've got a rhema. We've got to do those two different ones. And it is that communication process between God and us, the logos. I took just the two scriptures over there. The one is John 8, verse 31. And then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my logos, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The word, the written word from God, if you abide to it, if you stick with it. In Revelations, John is writing there, he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, where we can see that he's using exactly the same word as what he used in the beginning in John 1. In the beginning was God, and was the Word, and the Word was with God. So there's the example of the Logos and of Jesus then. Then the word Rhema actually means that the Holy Spirit is revealing God. Where Logos is meaning that the Word is revealing God, the Rhema is where the Holy Spirit is revealing God. And our difference of opinions about it, interesting enough, I thought, okay, let me just have a look and see what people are thinking about it. So in Dutch, I typed it into that famous machine, and then Google popped it up that a certain, the title is then a dominee, which would mean a referent of a traditional church. And I don't know that, and I don't hope there's somebody out of Barneveld over here today. But he said, and which is standard, that they say the word logos and a rhema word are exactly the same. They are not the same. The thing is that it is spirit-filled, that rhema word. And we in the charismatic churches, we see the differences. We put those two apart. We say, in English, it's one word, but it means logos and rhema. We've got two different words. Romans 10, verses 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing the rhema of God. And if we're hearing the rhema of God, then we're hearing how the Holy Spirit is revealing God. I can go to somebody, and hopefully you can imagine yourself, and I can take the Bible and I can read one scripture after the other scripture after the other scripture. Maybe the person is going to get faith. I'm not quite sure about it. But if I'm going to sit down with that person and then I'm going to talk with him, what the Holy Spirit puts on my heart, what I've got to share with that person, then we're talking about rhema. Then we are seeing faith. Then we are seeing a change in a person because he's hearing the word of God. He's hearing the rhema of God. John 6, 63, it's also a rhema word. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words, the rhema that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Jesus is talking to his disciples just after he told them that they've got to eat his body and they've got to drink his blood. And then the disciples said, no, where are you talking about? We cannot understand it. But they didn't understand that it was spiritually where Jesus was talking about it, the spiritual drinking and the spiritual eating. The word that I speak to you, the rhema word, the word which is filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is the best weapon. But the word of God is the rhema word of God. Again, we've seen, yes, Jesus used scripture when Satan was attacking him. He quoted out of Deuteronomy. But what we can do, if we are being attacked, ask God how to handle this situation. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life, that you can reply how God is directing you, how you should reply. Yes, you can take your word and you can quote scripture, but it is also that you can ask God and say, Lord, what is it what you want me to do over here? What scripture must I use over here? If we compare the Logos and the Rhema, the one person said, the Logos is like a well of water, and the Rema is like a bucket of water, but filled with water out of that well. They are linked to each other, but they are different things what they are revealing. And yes, there's even one verse in the Bible where we've got Rema and Logos in one sentence. That is in Acts 10, verses 44. That's Peter, who was at that time with Cornelius, the centurion house, and he was speaking the words over there. And while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. The first one is the Rema, when Peter was speaking these words. So he was speaking words filled with the Holy Spirit to those people around him. Then the Holy Spirit fell on those who heard the word, who heard the scripture was Peter was quoting as well. And this was quite a new thing because these were the first Gentiles who were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that God speaks specifically to us through the Holy Spirit. We hear God's voice. We can hear God's voice. God wants to speak to us. Both the Logo and the Rema are needed because both of them are words from God. But the Word of God is not only the Word of God. There's more attached to it. There's more included in it. I would like to have a little bit of a look at that in Scripture with 1 Thessalonians 1 verses 5. For our gospel, and this is then Paul speaking with Silas and I think Timothy, for our gospel did not come to you in word only. It didn't come in logos only, but there were more things attached to it. There was also power. There were most probably miracles happening over there. Miracles which they did, which Paul did or which Silas did over there. And in the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit was also convincing those people about God and about Jesus and about the Holy Spirit. And then it also says, in much assurance. Because those who were sharing the gospel, they got confident. And those who are now and then evangelizing will must probably agree with me that if you are sharing the gospel, you get a little bit more assurance. It's easier for you to start a conversation with somebody about the gospel. So that is also included in it. And then the last part, as you know, what kind of men were among you for your sake? So which means they were putting that what they were teaching, they were also putting it into practice. So what they were saying was correspondent with what they were doing. So the Word of God is not totally on its own. There's more attached to it. It's power, Holy Spirit, assurance, and then also the living example. God is communicating with us, like I said, through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. Because God is communicating with this creation. And as I was sitting down and I thought, yeah, take a look at where, to whom did God actually communicate? To whom did he communicate? And then the first one which came in was one of the first ones in the Bible where he showed that he was a father. He cared about him, and it was about Cain. And then he spoke to Cain, and he said to him, so says the Lord to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sins lies at your door, and its desires is for you, but you should rule over it. It's a choice what God is giving over there to Cain. God is caring about his creation. He wants to communicate with his creation. He communicated with Cain, and he said to him, this is your option. If you go the way what you're doing at the moment, sin lies at your door. Other translations are talking about is scratching at your door. God was talking to Abraham, and he was maybe talking very direct with Cain, and he said, you've got to make a decision now. But the way he was talking to Abraham was totally different. He was telling first to Abraham, go to that country, Genesis 12, verses 1 to 2. Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Abram is 75 years old. He's only getting a child when he's 100. God's plan was 25 years. God didn't give him a stipulated strategy for 25 years. No. First thing he said, get out of your land. Then he comes in Canaan and he says, you're going to inherit it. Then at a certain time, he also says to him, when he was 99, of Ishmael was born out of Abram when he was 86. But at 99, God also instructed him to circumcise himself and the people with him. And then at the age of 100, Isaac is born. There he can only see 25 years later, after God told him, go out of the land, I want to bring you to another place where you're going to start a big nation. God is communicating sometimes with us as well. But he's only telling us the first thing. Not to say you've got to wait 25 years before the next chapter is coming and the next chapter is coming. But I'm trying to give an example over here how God is communicating with us. That it takes sometimes, it can take very long. And even when Abram was finished, he died it when he was 175 years old. He was still staying in a tent. Still he wasn't that he had houses where his descendants were staying. It wasn't there. The writer of Hebrew has actually put it very nice together. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out of the place which he would receive as an inheritance, which was the land of Canaan. And he went out, not knowing what he was going, of where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of the promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents. He just stayed in tents continuously. Although God has given that promise, that land is going to be yours and your descendants are going to stay there. So he saw the things up to a certain point, but he didn't see it totally at the final end. Dwelling in tents with Isaac and with Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The builder refers to the artisans, but the maker, it's a combination of two words. The maker is God. We think then, yeah, the maker is God. God is building this place. But there's more to it, because if we take a look at that word maker, it's actually a combination of labor and people. It is showing again, God is working for the people. God is working for his creation. God loves his creation. He wants to communicate with his creation. God also communicated with David. We heard with the offering about Samuel. Samuel went to David, anointed him, and then Samuel went back to the sheep. He didn't become king. So it is also possible that God is speaking to us, that a certain thing is going to happen. But it's not going to happen directly. It's maybe good, because they think that psalms like Psalm 23 were written by David in that period between being anointed and then to become king. And there we see in the Old Testament that there are full of promises and prophecies which are realized in the New Testament. And the most important one, of course, is Jesus, which have been promised in the Old Testament but realized in the New Testament. And that is the beautiful thing of it, is that God cares about us. He wants to communicate with us. He speaks to people like Cain, he speaks to people like Abram, and also to David, who had to wait. And how God is speaking is different. We may be experiencing difference. It could be that you say, yes, I can associate a little bit with Abram. I feel that God has given me always just that little bit. I can't see the 5 or the 10 or the 15-year plan of God, and I would like to see it. I also would like to see it. But don't worry about it. God will give to you when you need it. The only thing is you've got to be in contact that you can receive it. So what am I trying to say today? I'm trying to say that God wants to be involved in his creation. God wants to be involved in us. And that he is doing through the Holy Spirit. And God is involved in his creation. Sometimes we're not even realizing it, how God is involved in our lives. But afterwards we see a certain thing and we say, wait a moment, God must have been involved over here because it couldn't have happened like this. I can see God's hand in it. And God is busy with us. He wants to live in our world. But the question is, are we prepared? Are we prepared to go to God and to ask him to speak into our lives? Are we willing? Are we willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit wants to share with us? And we see different reflections of that reaction, different reflections in us, how God is speaking to us. Like Cain, they're all people whom God spoke to in their lives, but they acted like Cain. They decided, I'm not interested in it, I'm going my own way. Like Abraham, in today's world, we most probably will say, yes, God is slow. 25 years, it's quite a long-term plan. It sounds like the government who's got sometimes of those long plans. But God has got a plan. And sometimes we just have got to wait a little bit and become a little bit quiet. David took a wife of somebody who was fighting for him and at the final end even made sure that the person is killed as well. But God is speaking to him because he was prepared to repent, which means in our lives as well. Do we first have got to be perfect and God will speak into our lives? No. But we must have a repentant heart. If we've done something wrong, that we can go to God like David and say, I've done something wrong and I'm repenting of it. Take a guy like Peter. That guy was full of energy. Sometimes the wrong way. Because when they wanted to arrest Jesus, he cut off the ear of one of the people who wanted to arrest Jesus over there. But once he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he was going. The first sermon, what he did is most probably the best sermon ever, because that started Christianity. This is where the church started. And then Paul was killing people. He was killing God's kingdom. But once he got an encounter with Jesus, he was prepared to give his own life for bringing the gospel to other people. So there we can see different peoples who are differently acting or reacting on how God is communicating with them. None of them was perfect. Fortunately, I'm also not perfect, and I'm never going to be perfect. Renee sometimes said, yes, I'm good, but I'm not perfect. And that's so nice. That's what I'm enjoying about it, because the only thing what God is looking for is a willing person. He's looking for a willing person who is prepared to come to him and say, here I am. Use me for your kingdom, how you want to use me. And we must be willing to listen to the word of God. Because today, God wants to guide us through his word. This is how he wants to guide us. But if we're not listening to the word, if we're not spending time with God, and if we're not prepared to be guided, or we do not want to listen to him, to his guidance, nothing is going to happen. God wants to speak to us through the Holy Spirit. We're going to do just now something practical. But as I was busy with the sermon, God gave me a picture of a spinning top. In Dutch it would be a tol. I'm not quite sure what it is in the other languages. And then I said, Lord, but what is it? What do you want me to say? And I felt that the Lord said, I've got to bring this message. So I'm not quite sure for whom it is, if it is for somebody inside here, if it's somebody who's looking at Facebook Live now, or maybe here listening or looking at the video clip later on. I'm not quite sure about it. But it's that spinning top which is turning around the axle, which is themselves. They are just busy with themselves. And it's a person. I don't know if it's a he or a she. But a person is so busy with himself or with herself. Because the thing is that if the spinning tool is turning around, then it's getting attention. If it's not spinning around and if it's just laying there, nobody's looking at it. But what the person is doing is the person is spinning around, spinning around, spinning around to get attention from the people. The person is living from the attention which is coming from the outside. This is what is boosting the person. And I felt that the Lord said to me that I've got to give that message to the person. Stop about it. Stop about putting your own energy in spinning around and trying to get attention from the people and living from the attention and getting energy from the attention what people are giving to you. Look up to me. That's much more important. And look up to me and listen to what I'm saying to you. So if it's you, we can pray about it later on. If it is somebody who's not here at the moment, I trust that they will see God's face and that they will talk about it. What I felt with this message, what God is giving to me. The majority of you I know, and I know that you've got a living relationship with God. So I'm not going to do an altar call to raise your hand if you haven't got a living relationship with God. But this afternoon I wanted to do a little bit something different. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit in that. We're going to play three songs. The one is where we're inviting the Holy Spirit. The other one is about waiting. And then really waiting that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us. And then the last one is really relying on the Holy Spirit to guide us as what we go out from here. But as we're going to listen to those three songs, I'm trusting and I've prayed for it because I felt this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do this afternoon. That the Holy Spirit is going to give you a message which you've got to give to somebody else, which could also be a message which is for the whole congregation. In that case, please come to me. Then I can first talk and then we can see how we can get that message which you've got that you can give it to the other people. It's a little bit of a different thing, maybe not used to that type of practical thing in a sermon. But I like it when the Holy Spirit is doing things like that because then I know then things are happening. And that God wants to speak to us, that God wants to lead us, that God wants to, through the Holy Spirit, guide us. I'm sure about it, and I got a confirmation from that again. When I was finished with everything, with the sermon, and I had everything on the internet, and I had the Easy Worship loaded, and all those type of things, then on a daily basis, I'm getting a prophecy from somebody, I think it's coming out of America. And I was so astonished again to see how God was actually confirming in that message what the sermon is all about today. And I'm going to read it for you. I heard the Lord saying that you are now prepared to come up into the higher realms, placing in the Spirit so that you can see, know, and understand my purpose for you. Do not forget that I am with you. I am with you to help you, to lead you, and to guide you. I am with you to heal you and to provide for you. I will cause your life to become one of productivity, liberty, freedom and victory. So get going. Walk in the right direction. God wants to, through the Holy Spirit, guide us. We're going to do a little bit of a practical thing, like I said. And you maybe say, sounds a little bit strange. Sander came before the sermon to me and he said, God spoke to him yesterday. And God said to him, because that's something where he battled with himself. God on the one side, the world on the other side, of Satan on the other side, and being tossed around. And he felt that the Holy Spirit was saying to him that there's somebody, or maybe more than one person, this afternoon over here. And if you want to just confirm your relationship with God again, I'm inviting you to come, that we can pray. And I'm going to even ask Sander then as well to come in and join in prayer as well. That we can just confirm it again. But what I'm trying to say there is, showing again is how God wants to speak with us. And he will use different opportunities. But we've got to be open for that, that we can receive. So we're going to listen to the three songs. Take your time. You can sit down. If there's a word, feel free to go to the other person. If another person is coming to you, don't run away. And then also, if the person is giving you a word, listen to it, and you can pray about it over there. You can ask the other person to pray it in if it is something which is specifically what you know. That's totally correct. But that we use those three songs which are coming just now, the period that we can just open up, and that we can just say, Holy Spirit, tell us, what is it? What do you want to share through me with somebody else? Because this is how we've got to go through life, that we can allow God through the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives. Because if we're just going to do it with God's word, then we stick to the Logos. But God is giving us the Rhema, where he's revealing us, revealing himself to us through the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to see if the technical team is, they say they're up and running. What I would like to do is, it's going to be chaotic, but I like it. When God is speaking to you, don't wait and don't try to rephrase it or anything like that. And God will tell you and give you a picture or whatever the case may be. Go to the person. Please keep your 1.5 meter distance. If you want to sit somewhere else, use this space. Just use the three songs just to allow the Holy Spirit. And if you're battling to hear something from God, really, I should say, open yourself up and ask God to show us. But let me pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you are God, as what we could be singing before the sermon. How great you are, that you want to communicate with us, your creation, that you want to speak into our lives through the Holy Spirit. And Father, as what we're going to go now in the three songs, and we'll be trusting that the Holy Spirit is going to speak in our lives, I pray, Father, that you're going to reveal yourself to us through the Holy Spirit. If it is with a picture, maybe with a Bible verse, maybe with another way, maybe even with a vision, something what you are giving to the people now, that they can share it with somebody else, and that we can be strengthened, that we can be encouraged by it, what we're receiving from the other person. You've been speaking to a lot of people. We heard it in the sermon, Father. But you also say that you want to speak to each and every one. But you want us to be willing to receive from you. And Father, we come this afternoon, all of us, and we are here to receive from you. Speak. Your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.